Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. By the blood of the Lamb, we have boldness to come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in a present need of help. Father, we need mercy. We expect to obtain it. And we need grace to help. Father, I need grace to help. Father, I'm asking for great grace tonight on us all. We all need help in some area of our life, and we all need all the mercy that we can get. So because of the blood of the Lamb, we come before you with a boldness as your sons and daughters, expecting to obtain this mercy and find this grace. Father, I believe your word that you send out today will accomplish what you sent it out to do. It'll be loaded with your mercy and be loaded with your grace. Father, I believe that the word will have free course here today and that you'll be glorified, Father, as your sons and daughters of God. We believe that you're going to minister to us, feed us, move us, guide us, show us, teach us, direct us, and change us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Praise and worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love our praise and worship. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you for their gifts, their talents, their obedience, their faithfulness, Father. Thank you. Glory to God for each one of those ministers. Hallelujah. This service and all the services. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Well, as we get ready for tithing offerings, you can turn to Luke chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Been a sweet spirit in the house all day today. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 32 to start with. 35 is the one I'm going to concentrate on. Now let's look at 32. Luke 6, 32. He says, "For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." And here's the difference. "But love you your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." One of the hardest things I have to do in my flesh is to be kind and good to people that are unthankful. I can handle a lot of things and do a lot of stuff, but when somebody is unthankful, it's like I just want to shut down on them immediately. I knew this was my first reaction. And I have to reach inside myself for the love of God, to believe God, for me to do something for somebody who was unthankful. And the first thing I think about usually when that comes up is how unthankful I was toward Jesus Christ for years before I accepted the salvation. And then how unthankful I was after I received my salvation. In other words, how many things has he given to me and how many things he has done for me that I was not even appreciative for because it never left my lips. I never said thank you. I never, if you've hung around me for a while, my biggest kick now is, how many times have you sat on your toilet and said, "Thank you, Lord"? I guess until we get over the potty thing, I'm going to hang with there because evidently not too many of us are doing it. I'm getting to where I've really... working on that. So my wife, when I go to the bathroom, she's starting to hear me back there, and she knows what's going on, right? Why is that, Pastor? There are so many things that God has done for us in our life. Could have been born anywhere. Man, I was born here. Some people think, you know, born in Minden is a curse. Are you kidding me? Go live a month or two out in California. Go somewhere else. You know, I traveled in the military. I was in Canada and Panama and a couple other places. I traveled up and down, but I never went overseas until recently when I went to Africa with Pastor David. But I could have been born anywhere else. I could have been born at any other time. But yet I'm here today for this reason, to expand the kingdom of God. I've been set here with so many things to be thankful for and so many things to be grateful for. I mean, we take for granted air conditioning, heating. I mean, we just take it for granted. Like, we're supposed to have it. Running water, man, we're supposed to have it. And I hear these towns and cities sometimes where now they're under boil order, and I go, do you realize how good the water in Minden tastes? No, I'll try that again. I know most of y'all drink bottled water and you wouldn't be caught drinking tap, you know. That's a shame. Because Minden, oh, I thought you were. Minden's water is some of the best you've ever tasted in your life. It is, man. I've been in places, whoa, my Lord. Minden's water is good water. And the surrounding area is good water. Pastor, why are you doing this? If me and you are thankful and grateful for the things we have, then when someone who is ungrateful or unthankful comes to tap into your resources, you're going to have to move to a position of what Christ did for you. I'm telling you, I mean, maybe y'all got it really easy. You know, the enemy can walk up and slap you in the face and ask you for a meal for a hamburger, and you just give it to him. But I have to count on the love of God to get me past people who are unthankful and ungrateful. Some of it is out of ignorance. Sometimes people get placed in positions with favor. They have no idea. And I'm saying this as including myself. I'm not saying this excluding myself. Sometimes we get placed in places with favor. We have no idea the magnitude of the position or the place we've been set in, and we're not even thankful because we don't understand the favor we just walked in. And so a lot of times I think God reveals that to us through revelation. Like, man, do you know where you're at? You've been favored to even be standing there, even to be able to speak, to be in a pulpit, to be preaching. Do you realize how favored you were, how highly favored I thought of you, how prestige this is, how much of an honor it is for you to be where you're at? Greeters in the back, nursery, children's ministry, teachers in the back, teachers in life groups, ushers and people. We are so blessed and highly favored. We ought to be so thankful. Pastor, what has this got to do with tithing offerings? Everything. Because of a thankful heart, what you're doing is you're saying to God, I'm in faith with you. We studied that today. Your mouth lines up with the Word of God. One of the biggest ways you praise God is thank you. It's praise in your mouth. There's a miracle in this, right? And so when unthankful people show up to tap into the love of God, where else are they going to get it? Because most Christians can't even tap into that. I've been there. I'm not judging anybody in this room. I'm telling you, it's hard for somebody to walk up demanding, expecting, thinking it's their right to want something for you and you to give it to them. And then something within me goes, it's the way you were for years with me. Give it to them because they'll never know the goodness of God until I'm good to them. So a lot of times you may think, that didn't do anything. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't do nothing. They just don't appreciate it. Here's what God says about it. He says, be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. In other words, in verse 35, he says, but love you your enemies. That's what Jesus did when he was on the cross, because he said in his final words, some of his final words, he said, they know not what they've done. Forgive them. Out of ignorance, they did that, thinking that it was what they had said he was, a common criminal, a crook, somebody who was against the kingdom of God, a smitten and stricken by God himself, afflicted by God himself. They viewed him as a common prisoner. In other words, they didn't have any idea what they just done. And God told him to forgive him. I mean, Christ told God, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And a lot of times, that's the same thing with unthankful. They don't know any better. How are they going to learn any better if the love of God doesn't show up? Because if I have not experienced the love of God when I was even unthankful for him, when he poured out goodness on me, because it's the goodness of God that causes men and women to repent. So he said, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And the word evil is people that are full of fear, doubt, and unbelief. They don't even believe God. But he's telling me, God was kind to me when I was in that situation. Now he says your reward will be of children of the highest. All I can tell you is, church, when you tithe into us, we're working on this. Your pastor is trying to love on everybody, even the unthankful. And we are giving in to people. I'm not talking about giving in to them. I'm talking about giving to them. In other words, when you tithe and your offerings comes into this church, we pay alms. We give to people that are hurting, need a break, bad, traveling. Some of them are unthankful. Some are even evil when they come in here. But God's telling me you give to them because that'll be the only thing they may ever see that the kindness of God may come in. I have a right to move through that. On top of that, they're not your reward. So you have a part of that, church. I'm telling you right now, I cannot tell you. Wendy probably's got a number, probably around 120 or 130 people, something like that, isn't it? So last year, and it was right at $17,000, we helped 130 people. Wow, Pastor. Yes. Wow. I want us to be doers of the Word of God. I want us to have a reward in heaven. You get up there one day and you go, where did that come from? You remember when you were tithing and offerings in the Living Word? Yes. He walked through the door and needed some money, needed a meal, needed a hotel, needed to travel, needed to do something. Wow, you mean I got part of that reward? Yes. That's what he says right there. Because it's the money you've tithed in offerings. Pastor, I don't know if I want you doing $17,000 of tithing and offering into alms. Well, let me say this to you, right? Since we started doing that, that was one of the things the Holy Spirit told me to do we're about 27 months, 26 months. For the 27 months I've been, whatever, he's told me, tell nobody no. From that moment, we went from around 700,000 to $1,011,000 this past year. The Holy Spirit's been increasing us about $150,000 a year. And it's his doing. Why? Because we're just doing the Word of God. I want to be good stewards of the mammon that you sow into the kingdom of God. I want God to be able to love on people. I want us to be able to embrace them. I want them to be able to come into this service. I want them to be able to get healed, delivered, set free. I want them to be able to be ministered to. If you love somebody or care for somebody, you have an avenue to minister into their life. Will a lot of them never come into the church? You bet. One might. Two might. Three might. There's about three or four of them right now that have been regular now for about 7-8 months. Glory to God, their lives are changing because of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to close with this. He says, be ye therefore merciful. What's he talking about? To even the unthankful and the evil that don't deserve it. That's the way I was when he was merciful to me. He says, be ye therefore merciful as the Father is merciful, and judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Wow. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, shall that measure be measured unto you again. What I'm saying to you is, I'm in the process of trying to give so much that I can't handle the pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. I'll try that again. You understand what I'm saying? Because if the church gets into the pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it's going to be everywhere and every need and everything and every good work. There'll be all kinds of things abounding to us because he said men will give unto our bosom. You believe that with me? I do. Glory to God. It's the best economic plan I ever seen in my life. Do the word. Glory to God. Our tithing and our offerings, and let's give. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for being able to be in your kingdom by the blood of Christ Jesus that made us the righteousness of God and purchased us, has redeemed us so that we're your sons and daughters. What a privilege. Father, what a plan that you have through tithing and offerings. We just give our tithe, Father, and you have a covenant promise that you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. There'll be meat in our storehouse. You'll rebuke the devourer for our sake. All our things will increase and produce. Nothing will be barren. It always yields fruit, Father. So, Father, we thank you for your covenant promise. But, Father, I thank you for the promise you put on giving, the offerings, and just giving, Father. You said in your word, if we give, it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and back into our bosom will men give unto us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank y'all so much for giving tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That even means holding your cane sometimes. Hallelujah. That's a G-Maw joke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us, being our defense, our high tower, and our shield. Glory to God. Well, let's look tonight at a miracle in our mouth. We're still going to walk down this road with God until he tells me to hold up on it, right? Look at Luke chapter 4, since we're right there in Luke. We'll go to Luke first. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. What are we doing, Lego? Remember Lego, right? Lego's Jesus' word in you. It's what he says to us, right? Systematic, what? Disclosure or a path of building blocks in our life, right? Change our word, world. Glory to God. Luke chapter 4, and let's look at verse 32. And he said, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him to the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Pastor, what are we doing? Well, I want to set this up, really, because if you go back and look at it, he had just stood up in earlier in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and he had told them that the scriptures are fulfilled in your ears this day. What he had come to do, and he closed the book, and in verse 21 he said, and he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That day has not stopped. Jesus is still fulfilling scriptures in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now watch. When things become common or human to you in the Scriptures, you just lost out. Now, I am a common man as far as a man goes, but the position that I stand in is not common. See, Jesus was in a position, he just stood up and said what his position was. Watch what he said. He just stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closes the book. Everybody's looking at him. And then he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He just spoke the Word of God. He is reading out of the Word of God. When an individual has the Word of God come off their mouth, there's nothing common about them anymore. I'll try that one more time. "But that was Jesus, Pastor." Well, I'm going to show you where men got a concept of this. Where other men realize that if you put the Word in your mouth, the Word is powerful. And the Word will accomplish what the Word will always accomplish when it's spoke with faith, when it's let out of your mouth. So Jesus stands up and he reads the Word. He's looking at the Word on page. And he reads the Word and he says, "This day is that fulfilled in your ears." And they said, "Whoa, aren't these elegant, marvelous words?" And they were all carried away about his words. And then one of them said, "Hey, his daddy's outside. That's Joseph's son. Aren't his brothers and sisters with us?" Another area in the gospel where he could do no miracles there. Why? Because he became common to him. He became a man. When the Scriptures are spoken unto you, it's not common. I don't care if it's from a brother, a sister, a pastor, a teacher, a minister, a prophet. When the words are spoken, period, when they leave the lips of a human, it's carrying Almighty's name all over it. It's got Jesus backing it. It's what was spoken in heaven years before. It's what's of the Spirit. It's got Spirit and life unto it. And the Word is powerful. It's magnificent. It's wonderful. What's amazing about it, he addresses them. In verse 23, "And he said unto them, You will surely pay or say unto this proverb, Physicians, heal thyself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, which great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elijah, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." What is he saying? The ones who believed and did the words of God, of the men of God that were spoken unto them, they reaped the benefits of it. That widow sustained life for the man of God, and she had life given unto her. The leper, Naaman, believed what God said. He struggled with it at first, and he finally was convinced by a servant to do what the man of God said do, and he goes and dips, and he gets healed. And he was directing it to them who just said that he was common. Because if you think he's common, or if it's of a human, you won't do it. You won't put no value on it. You won't esteem it. The word is just a word to you that somebody said. No different from watching your TV to you, because you have no faith in it, because you think it was common. It's not common. And in fact, one of the things the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about is when individuals come to me and they speak the Scriptures, I have the ear of the learned. Why? Because I don't think it by chance anymore. Because people come up to me and speak a lot of things. But when someone comes up to me and says a Scripture, I might ought to shut down and pay attention to what's being said. I don't care who you are. What department are you in? Church? You may have just walked in for the first time. I remembered one of the ladies that was starting to come here, maybe her first or second trip in this church, prophesied over the church, and it was one of the best prophecies I'd heard in years over this church. I'm speaking scripture all in her mouth. I'm thinking to myself, Lord. So after he says this, they get all upset with him. They're filled with wrath in verse 28. They want to do something. They rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill where the city was built, and they might cast him down headlong. They must have had him by the ankles or the knees and fixed to chunk him over the edge of the cliff of the hill on which the city was built. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Verse 32 is where, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power. And then we get into the part where he tells the adversary, or the devil, to shut up or hold his peace and come out. Verse 36, and he says, and they were amazed, and he spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and he rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto him. Before I can get halfway through one chapter, I've got three different events where Jesus is speaking. The pastor asked Jesus, you can't read Scripture? Because the first time he's speaking, he's reading Scripture. And he's reading it out loud in the church or the synagogue. You don't have the power, you have the authority. I'll say that one more time. You don't have the power to do any of it, but you do have the authority. You have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus, which has all the power. You've been given the authority to utilize the Holy Spirit, which has all the power. You have been given the authority to use the Word, which has all the power. You don't have the power. The power's back in your authority. Remember the police officer? He cannot stop a car at 1,500 pounds running at him at 45 miles an hour. It will run him over. But because he raises his hand and does this right here, you know if you run him over that you'll have to deal with every police officer in the city. The sheriff's department will get after you. The state troopers will get after you. If he gets bad enough, they'll run the National Guard at you. And if you can run and hide from the National Guard long enough, he'll get the United States military after you. In other words, the reason you don't run over him is because he doesn't have the power to keep you from running over him. It's his authority that's backing him up. And that's the position you're in. You have the authority because the power behind you is backing you. Whew. So Jesus, he read the Scripture. Then after he read the Scripture, he commanded or spoke or epo. I guess that's the way you say it, epo, right? The Greek word. Speak out or commanded. What? For the unclean devil to leave. Then after that, he runs into Peter's mother-in-law, and he speaks to a fever. So now he's spoken to a tree. He's spoken to the wind. He's spoken to a storm. He's spoken to the sea. Now he's spoken to a fever. He's spoken to devils. And he's read the Word of God to people in a church. So he's spoken to people. Isn't it amazing? Everything's obeying him but the people. I'll give you an example. This is not the only place where he spoke to unclean spirits. So he speaks to the one, the madman of Gadara, right? He's got all these legions of them. And he puts them in the swine. Well, the swine are having a conversation with him. Please, I adjourn you, Lord Jesus, don't cast us out. We want to go get in the pigs. Even the demonic spirits know when he speaks his word, they have to obey it. And so he gives them permission to get in the pigs. And then he has the pigs run off in the ocean. Pastor, what are you saying? Why are we the only ones that don't get this. Everything in every spiritual realm gets it. Every sickness and disease gets it. Every demonic spirit gets it. Every angelic spirit gets it. Why are humans the only one that don't get it? Not in here. We're full of faith. We believe what the Word says. Jesus is speaking all kinds of things, all kinds of things. When he comes, he said, talk to a mountain if it showed up. Pastor, that's Jesus, though. Sure is. And I'm joint heirs with him. And the Word of God said in Genesis that I was actually created in his image and his likeness. God declared or said and spoke and light existed. God declared and spoke and everything in this world started existing. He spoke it and it saw it. He always said before he saw. Our God's like that. It's a God of faith. And he said, have faith in him. What is it? Or have the faith of him. What it is. In other words, I have the ability to believe in my heart that whatsoever I say will come to pass. Pastor, this is amazing. It sure is. I love faith being on the inside of me. And it serves me. It's here for me. It was dealt to me. It was given to me by Christ Jesus and our Father. And it was a gift. I want to use it. It'd be like getting the best bike, best motorcycle, best car, best gun, best horse, whatever you can think about, and putting it up in a barn and never pulling that baby out. Why? What is the spiritual realm doing with your words? Is the adversary constantly, you know, obliging you, or is faith working on your behalf? Are you speaking the Word of God out of your mouth where faith has something to work with? Glory to God. So let's talk about the word rebuke real quick. So Jesus rebuked the fever. He didn't pray over it. Didn't stand over it, give a long praying. So he just rebuked it. And the word rebuke means to express a sharp, stern disapproval, a reprove, or reprimand. In other words, when he rebuked the fever, it's like, you have no right to be in her. Get out. You have no right being in her. I curse you from the root cause. Leave her now. He commanded and he spoke out loud to it. Why? He's exhibiting faith. He's exhibiting exactly what he told us we could do. Say out or speak out loud or command. But see, a lot of us, when we think about Genesis chapter 1, where it said God said, the actual word in a lot of places is called God declared. In other words, God declared light. God called light. God declared light. Light. Light be. Light show up. He didn't just, come here, light. Come here, light. No, he declared it, commanded it to exist, spoke it in existence. He epoed. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I think I'm going to get this. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Verse 26, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Mark says it a little bit different. He says, peace be still. That is exactly what he said. But here he said he rebuked it. So how did he rebuke it? Looks at the wind, looks at the waves, and says, peace be still. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what did he do? A stern, sharp voice rebuked what it was that he did not like. In other words, he said, expresses disapproval, reprove, or reprimand. Like, what are you doing here, wind? What are you doing here, storm? You have no right slowing my ship down. It's going to a place and you can't stop it. Shut up, get still, get out of my way, we're going through. My Lord. Look at John chapter 11. Verse 38, John 11:38. And Jesus, therefore, again groaneth in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone was laid upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said, spoken, he cried out with a loud voice. And I'm not talking about boo-hoo, cry. It means holler. It means like, Lazarus, come forth. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Oh. Jesus' words were powerful. What he spoke carried power. The reason people marveled over Jesus was the power of his words. What are you saying, Pastor? Be no different with you. People will come to you, draw to you because of the spirit and life that's in your mouth, because it's the word of God coming off your tongue. It's powerful. You of yourself don't have the power, but you have the authority to use it. You are a whosoever. You're a son or a daughter of God who has the ability and the privilege to be able to speak the word of God in your mouth. What an honor. How it changes things when that starts going into your mouth. Amazing. Glory to God. What I'm about to do is let me look at Matthew chapter 9 really quick. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 2, and he said, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, the certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he unto the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. Now here's what Jesus is saying. Now, Luke's account's a little different. He goes into detail about it, about they break through the roof and they lower them down. Same story. Matthew's account, it talks about what Jesus said and spoke to him. And what he said was, the same power that forgives you of your sins. He said, which is easier for me to say? Is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or for you to pick up your bed, arise and walk and go home? But that you may know that the same power that forgives you is the same power that heals you. In other words, what Jesus is telling you, in my salvation are both and more than just those two. What he said was, the same ability for you to be forgiven so that you can be in heaven is the same ability or power of Christ Jesus to heal you. He's saying, I can say one or the other. Be forgiven. He's healed. It lines up with James chapter 5 in the prayer of faith, where we shall call the elder and he'll anoint us with oil, right? And one of the things that if they had committed any sin, it'll be forgiven them and he'll raise you up. Lord, Jesus is saying to me, Andy, if you can believe me that your sins are forgiven, then you can believe me that you're healed. It's the same salvation package. It's me. I'm taking care of all of it. The amazing part is what Jesus is saying. He said to him, first he said, your sins be forgiven, and everybody gets upset with him. Who is this that can forgive sins? Man, he's blaspheming God. So he changes his words. He says, okay, if that bothers you really bad, just to let you know, I can forgive his sins, but I can also heal him. Take your bed, rise up, and walk and go home. Same results. Same power, same source, same Jesus. Pastor, everything you're telling me is Jesus. Yes. He spoke to the dead. He spoke to sickness. Spoke to winds, storms, trees, demons. Everything is listening. But people that viewed him common, they're the only ones that are not. So if we don't view him common, we're listening. We're hearing what he's saying. We're absorbing this, that we have the ability to be being created in his image, to be his sons and daughters of God, that we can speak the same thing he speaks and get the same results. Pastor, you got to show me some people doing this, right? Well, this is where I'm heading for the next couple services, probably about humans that did it. Pastor Trey talked about it this morning a little bit in Mark chapter 5, the woman, right? I want to look at Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to close with this. Acts chapter 3. Because if you look in Acts, you don't see them stopping and praying too much. They do more declaring, speaking out, and speaking to it. So Acts chapter 3, verse 2. He said, there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In other words, he just declared, rise up and walk. And the only thing he did was use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, rise up and walk. I don't have the power to raise you up and cause you to walk. Jesus does. But he gave me the ability to use his name. I have the authority to use his name. I happen to believe in that name. I have faith in that name. Glory to God. Pastor, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Father, I think we've gotten a revelation of how important it is to put the word of God in our mouth. Glory to God. We're going to act like Jesus. The word of God says I can walk like he did in this earth. Wow. He said I have the ability to do that. The word of God says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. Most of you, I know almost everyone in here is born again. If any of you have been dealing with any kind of sickness or disease, and you believe tonight you've gone to a new level of faith, all I can tell you, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, I will give it to you tonight. I will lay my hands on you, and I will pray with you, and I'll declare and I'll speak out the name of Jesus over what it is that you're believing God to be healed for. Lord God, if that's you, just come out in front tonight. Anybody. Hallelujah. Let's speak to it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I got healed years ago of blood pressure. High blood pressure, right? And I get up every day and I still speak to it. My blood pressure is 120 over 80 in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're about to speak to it. Glory to God, Pastor Jimmy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Yes. Glory to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, I speak to his blood pressure. It is 120 over 80 or less. He is healed of high blood pressure. It's completely gone. He'll speak over it from now on out. So in the mighty name of Jesus, acid reflux, you must go. Glory to God. It must leave this body. I declare acid reflux be gone. I declare blood pressure be normal in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It is straight and strong with no pain, totally healed. Vertebrae, spinal column, nerves, everything. Line up with the word of God and be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good. How about you? We believe in God. Father, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It's gone. Hallelujah. You declare it. You declare it.